You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at RedRock_Beeball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today we are looking at the waiver wire players who might be available in your league that you can go and add Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it, indeed.
Of course, this is not an exhaustive list. This is not every player that's on every waiver wire in every situation and every type of league. Just a bunch of guys that I've found who I think are worth mentioning, who could be your ads in different sorts of situations. So let's get straight into it. And the first guy I want to talk about is a guy who is now the starting center, at least for the short term, for the Golden State Warriors, the wizard, Omari Spellman. Spellman has taken over from Willie Cauley-Stein. That's fine. Willie Cauley-Stein is not good. I've said this plenty of times. Spellman has a lot more upside. Now, he was significantly overweight when playing for the Hawks and in Summer League, but he's got himself in shape, and he does have that ability to contribute in multiple categories. He can bang in threes. He's hitting over 40% of them this season. He can get steals. He can block shots. He's not a horrendous passer. I think that he can maybe nudge the top 100, probably not get there, but at least get close enough to that area. He's 196th so far this season, but that's in only 17 minutes a game. I'd expect 7 to 10 extra minutes per game now. Now, this could change if Looney ever gets healthy or the Warriors decide they want to play Alan Smilagic a little bit more, and maybe they do. We'll talk about him a little bit later. But for now, Spellman's a guy that's available in 84% of Yahoo leagues. He's absolutely someone I take a flyer on in all 12-team formats and just see exactly where this goes. This one should be a no-brainer, but apparently it isn't. Norman Powell is returning to action for the Toronto Raptors today. He's available in 66% of Yahoo leagues. Then, and in our advanced metric over on Basketball Monster, still 13% of competitive leagues have him on the waiver wire. That should not be the case. Powell is the 86th ranked player over the course of the season. There's some funkiness with that because of the time that Lowry's missed and Van Vliet's missed, and he's benefited from that. But I think he's going to come back in and be at least around that top 100 mark. Maybe he falls out, maybe he doesn't, but you can't take that chance of leaving him on the wire. Norman Powell is good to go, so you go and grab him. Now, a bloke that I shit on quite a bit is Dylan Brooks of the Memphis Grizzlies, but at the moment, he's putting up some really good numbers. 128th over the course of the season, 28 minutes a game only. He has been inconsistent, but recently that consistency has been more there for him. He's scoring well. He's getting steals in games. Now, he lacks in rebounding. The efficiency can be wacky at times, but the steals are nice. He's getting assists occasionally. He's scoring, but more importantly, he's instead of playing 26 and then 23 minutes, he's getting like 30 minutes a night, and that sort of level of consistency in playing time is really helping his overall fantasy value. He is a 12-team option, not a must-roster 12-team league guy, but he's pretty close to it, especially considering he's the 66th ranked player over the last 2 weeks, averaging over 21 points per game on a sky-high 28 usage. Now, that's way up on his 23.9 over the course of the season, so there is some room for that to drop back off. But for now, the numbers are really strong. Patty Beverly is a guy that, again, continues to be under-rostered. He is, this season, the 102nd ranked player, yet only rostered in 57% of leagues, 86th in the advanced numbers. So there's still people who don't understand that he should be rostered. Like, if you're already basically a top 100 player, like, why are we sitting on him? Now, the field goal percentage has been rough. He doesn't get high assist numbers, but he gets steals. He rebounds extremely well. He hits threes. The scoring is low, and probably that's what turns people off. But Patty Beverly is a 12-team league player, in my opinion. Alfred Payton, similarly. It is a little bit hard always to trust the Knicks, but in just 25 minutes a game so far this season, he's ranked 134th. We saw him play 30 minutes last game and really stuff the stat sheet. I think that Payton can put up some significantly improved numbers from what we're seeing. Again, I don't trust it. I don't know what happens when Smith comes back. I don't know if he gets traded or not, but for now, available in 74% of Yahoo leagues and coincidentally rostered in 74% of the competitive portion of leagues, means that he should be looked at in nearly all formats. I think he can push towards that top 100 mark, and that's not a guy that I'd want to leave on the wire. Talked about this guy the last couple of weeks, Darius Garland. He looks like he is getting things rolling at the moment. He is 190th over the course of the season, which is not good, but we've seen his assists push up. He had a career high last game. The scoring is better. The shooting is better. He just looks more in control on the court, and I think that that is a guy that we want to grab and then just see where it runs from here. I feel much more confident in his long-term value than I do, say, with the Padawan Colin Sexton. Big numbers from Garland at the moment, and he looks a lot more comfortable on the court. Now, this one's not going to take long. Founder Pants, Kevin Huerter. Add him. I don't know why he isn't added in all leagues. He needs to be added in all leagues. So if he's available in your league, go and add him. Chris Dunn, again, he's more of a steals specialist, but he still does have that value. I really worry if we're ever going to see Otto Porter this season, meaning Dunn's going to play high 20s, low 30s in minutes most nights, 4 assists, 2 steals. That's really valuable that what he can provide. Yes, the offense can be a disaster, but those other numbers are still really strong for Dunny. And the last one in this list that I want to talk about is McCall Bridges of the Phoenix Suns. The Suns are a disaster. They continue to make horribly baffling coaching decisions, but the one thing they get right is closing the game with Bridges most nights. Now, it's taken us 3 months to get here, where Monty Williams was playing him 12 minutes a night at the beginning of the season and in a situation that made no sense, but now we're seeing it push up. He should be closing the games. He should be starting the games pretty obviously, next to DeAndre Ayton, but they're bringing both of those guys off the bench. Now, he's not a high-scoring guy, but he can block shots, he can hit threes, he can get steals. He can get assists. He probably won't in this Suns team, but he is a guy that can be much better than what we've seen. And even in the 22 minutes a game that he's played this season, he's still the 154th-ranked player, giving you an indication that if those push up to 30 minutes, he's going to be knocking on the door of that top 100 pretty quickly. The next list of guys we talk about, De'Anthony Melton of the Memphis Grizzlies. I bang on about this guy all the time. Again, let's give an update. 17 minutes a game, 138th ranked player. Absolute 14-team league guy who's rostered in 6% of leagues. Has to be rostered in 14-teamers and has that 12-team value. Now, will he ever push into 25 minutes? That feels doubtful at the moment with how Brooks is playing, with Morant healthy, with Tyus Jones still getting minutes. But even in those limited minutes, Melton is providing that value and he can always go off and get better than what we've seen here. Troy Brown Jr., as I record this, the Wizards are actually playing their Sunday game and Beal is back. So I do think that he is going to lose out when a lot of these players come back and it's going to make it harder for him to maintain 12-team value. But I don't dislike him as a back-end guy. There's obviously upside there. They should be trying to develop him. His rebound assist steals combination is really useful. And I wouldn't be relying upon him for those high minutes and high usage or higher usage that he's been getting of late. But he still should be a rosterable guy. Siku Dumbuya, it's been a little bit lean the last couple from Siku. He is still sort of feeling his way out, but I don't think he's losing this starting spot. He's still really, really young. He's a decent source of some steal numbers. He hits some threes, rebounds, scores a little bit. It's not going to be fantastic, but if you're in a relatively cushy position in the standings, Siku is a guy that you should be rostering. He's available in 65% of leagues and 24% of the competitive leagues, and he should be rostered, as should Damian Lee of the Golden State Warriors. Now, there is some talk, and this game hasn't taken place yet, that he won't play on Sunday as the Warriors are still finalizing his contract. And of course, his two-way days are still are finished. But if anyone drops him because he has this one game down in the G League, go and add him. He is the 144th ranked player so far in 27 minutes a game. I think he can push up higher than that. And he should be on a 12-team league roster at this point in the season. Let's go on to the next group of guys that I want to talk about. These are more short-term ads that we're looking at here. Dan Gafford in Chicago. The first game without Wendell Carter Jr., Gafford only played limited minutes off the bench. But the next two, he's been over 20. He played only 22 last game, but fouled out. He's a great source of blocks. He's not really limited offensively. He's not going to have this huge upside. But he is the best shot blocker out of all the rookies. If you can get 2 blocks a game out of a guy, that's enough value to be a 12-team league player. So I think you should be looking at him. I've got the Spur Dunk Robinson on this list. I just think when Justice Winslow comes back, it just squeezes everybody. Now, Robinson is more of a three-point specialist. He's 135th over the course of the season, mainly because, well, exclusively because of his three-point shooting. If that doesn't do it for you, then he has no value. But I do think the short-term tag on him is more just when Winslow eventually gets back. If he ever gets back, he got back for one game and then was out again, that it is going to have an impact on a lot of these guys. Same with Dorian Finney-Smith, who is starting to play better at the moment with Kristaps Porzingis out.
Porzingis.
Yeah, he's only a fringe guy at this point, but when KP comes back, it's hard to look at him as a must roster guy. 170th over the season, 29 minutes a game, but the rebounding numbers playing more power forward with Porzingis out have really helped his numbers. This one's a bit of a left field one. Brandon Goodwin of the Atlanta Hawks. Trae Young is dealing with hamstring tightness. It might be one game, it might be three games. We don't know how long Trae is going to be out, and I don't even know at the time of recording this whether they're going to start Goodwin or they're going to go to Cam Reddish or Huerter at starting point guard, but I feel good that Goodwin's going to play a few more minutes, and that could, at least in a 14 or 16 team league scenario, provide some value. He's going to be available on every single waiver wire, and he's not the highest priority 12 team league guy, but there might be some short term value there for him, much like with Jeremy Grant in Denver. With Paul Millsap out, I'd say indefinitely, that's not, doesn't mean a long time, we just don't know how long it's going to take for his knee swelling to come down. Grant's going to be the starter. He might not be as good as he was as a starter for the Thunder last season, but he's worth at least grabbing for 12 team short term play. Same with Aaron Holiday, filling in for Malcolm Brogdon. I think he gets minutes over Jeremy Lamb, or at least equivalent to Jeremy Lamb when Brogdon comes back, but that does hurt his 12-team value. He's more of a 14-team league guy. And then with Anthony Davis sidelined, the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, putting up some big numbers. Now, the usage in those two games for Kuzma has been absolutely out of control. The efficiency's been great. He's done absolutely jack shit in the assists, steals, and blocks areas, as per usual with Kuzma. So this is a great situation to add him and to sell him off to someone who really does believe that he is the second coming. So it's a double sort of ended sword situation, double-edged sword, I guess, for Kuzma here. But when Davis comes back, he's not going to have this value. Gorgui Dieng with Karl Anthony Towns. Who bloody knows what the hell's going on with Towns? This might last one more game. It might be another 2 weeks. Like, who knows what's happening with Towns, because the Timberwolves have been so transparent with all their news. Dieng has that short-term value there. And, of course, with Derek Favors dealing with a hammy, Jackson Hayes is an add there. Now, Favors is questionable for the Pelicans' next game. They would be absolute knobs to be bringing Favors back that early from a hamstring issue for a bloke with consistent back/hamstring problems. But the NBA and hamstring issues, you know the drill. He'll almost definitely come back and he'll probably ping it again. So Hayes is worth grabbing, holding, and let's just see where that goes from here. All right, let's move on to the next bunch of guys. Looking at some players who are on a bit of a hot streak. Jay Crowder is an interesting one because his hot streak is interspersed with extreme cold streaks. The Grizzlies only do play two games this coming week, so he's pretty tough to hold in a 12-teamer. But when he's playing well, the numbers are great. The problem is that when he plays shit, he's not even worth a 20-team spot. Enes Kanter also, which is an absolute monster the last time out against the Pelicans, putting in big rebound numbers. Prior to that, he'd been a little bit cool, but then the week before that, he was putting up good numbers. He's okay to have. Ride this out and then see where that goes. Same with Tristan Thompson, who was excellent to begin this season, dropped off to being the same old Tristan Thompson, but now is back putting up over at least the last two games some strong numbers. Now, he's not even a top 100 player over the course of the season, but if you need some rebounds with some decent field goal percentage, Tomo is providing that at the moment, and he should be someone that you can at least stream in short term. And same goes for Justin Holiday, who's on a little bit of a hot streak. I have no interest in him in 12 or 14 team leagues. I just wanted to mention him because his current rank is significantly higher over the last week or so than what has been for most of this season. If you ever have a look at some flyer type options, Dylan Windler, there's a real opportunity for him if he ever comes back from this leg issue to take some of those Kevin Porter minutes. And the same goes for Dante Exum, although I have significant doubts about Exum's fantasy viability. Same goes for Michael Porter. That is really only a flyer. He is a clear 12-team drop. He's just not getting enough, but maybe at some point something happens. I am very much lower on Porter than I am, than most people are. I mentioned him earlier, Alan Smilagic of the Warriors. They love him. I think he is their starting center of the future. Whether they go to him at all this season, whether he can take that Cauley Stein backup role remains to be seen, but I wouldn't be stunned. I really think they like him. And Isaiah Hartenstein has been fantastic. And Capella is out at the moment. I probably should have had him in the short-term ads. Capella dealing with a heel issue. As long as Capella's out, Hartenstein is a 12-team league option. Another flyer is the Dart, Goga Badadze.
Problem with my Gogomobile. Gogomobile?
No, not the Dart. Not the Dart.
Nah, not the Dart indeed. Now, this is Mel Morse thing, whether the Pacers are going to do something weird. Are they going to trade Miles Turner? I don't think they will, but if they did, Goga may slot straight in there as the starting center next to Sabonis. It's either that or you start Jakar Sampson. Yuck. So this is a real wild. I really like Goga for dynasty leagues, and it's probably not going to happen for him this season, but he is at least a name to watch. And then we go to Philadelphia with Joel Embiid out, the cock monster Kyle O'Quinn and Norval Powell. Now, O'Quinn has not played at all in the two games that Embiid has missed, but Powell's got about 2 games left or 2 days left on his two-way deal. If they don't convert him to a full-time contract, he can't play those 17 or 18 minutes a night he's been playing. So O'Quinn, theoretically, would move into that role. And we know that the cock monster can put up big numbers in limited minutes. He's not going to be a 12-team ad, but in deeper leagues, there might be some streamability there. And the last one, I've just always got to put him in here, the drip Lonnie Walker. Popovich just isn't relying upon him enough. Not enough minutes, not a 12-team league guy, but maybe at some point we get him, and I hate using the term unleashed, which is stupid because he's not that good, but maybe he can come in and provide some short-term some long-term 14-team league value. That'll do it. My waiver wire show is done. If you liked it, leave a thumbs up, leave a 5-star rating or review over on Apple Podcasts and a comment down in the YouTube comments section. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.